Welcome everyone to tonight's meeting. Do we have our middle school or high school representatives here?
Middle school,
come on down. Okay.
And our high school representative.
Good evening. My name is Christian Lamantia. Matlin and POB are excited to have the opportunity to update you on our buildings and the exciting events. We were welcomed back to school to a clean, updated, and beautifully decorated building, which we are so grateful for. The building and grounds crew worked nonstop to have the building up and running, and we cannot thank them enough. Matlin is so excited to have our own tennis courts, while POB looks forward to many years on their new track. The POB fifth graders had the opportunity to test it out as they took a lap around it with Ms. Bowman to start the school year. Matlin welcomed new students to the POB school district with an orientation by our administrators and a tour led by student ambassadors. The fifth grade students have adjusted well in both middle schools and have quickly become adjusted to school routines. Matlin and POB each held a summer orientation during locker move-in. At POB, the 8th grade map leaders led 5th graders on tours, helped open lockers, and welcomed them to POB. On Friday, 9/18, the Matlin 5th graders enjoyed a lunchtime barbecue. Students enjoyed great food, meeting some old friends and new, while strengthening their bond to Matlin. Our 5th and 6th grade back-to-school night occurred last week, and 7th and 8th grade back-to-school night will be later this week. This Friday, POB Middle School will hold our pep rally, bringing our buildings together in this enthusiastic and pride-filled event. 8th grade map leaders are working together with our map groups, practicing our pep rally cheer, chanted to the tune of We Will Rock You. Map groups are also working on posters to decorate the gym for the event. Looking ahead to October, Matlin Pep Rally will be held on 10/16 and will kick off our annual Pride Week. Wednesday, September 29th, Matlin will hold its annual club fair during period 9 in the cafeteria. Advisors and club members will showcase their clubs and answer any questions prospective members may have. Student council in both buildings are preparing for the homecoming parade at the high school on October 3rd. Thank you and have a great night.
Thank you. Nice. Great job. Now our high school rep. Bit taller.
Hello. I gotta say, I only have a few bullet points, and he had a full speech prepared. I feel a little. Yeah, I know, right? So we recently had our freshman welcome day. Sorry, I can't read my own handwriting sometimes. And the PTA sponsored it. It was very nice. We had I wasn't there. I'm not a freshman, but. We definitely had some nice beverages and food all provided by the PTA, so thank you for that, PTA. And Friday the 11th was Senior Spirit Day. There was car decorating, there was a senior barbecue, and again, I'm not a senior, so I was not there for that either. The 16th, we had a very crowded, very successful 12th grade meeting for colleges, because I guess they got the memo that they're actually going to college eventually. Something I have to start thinking about, which is kind of frightening. But besides that, we had the photos on the bleachers today for the senior yearbook, and it was also my picture day, so hope I look good. And clubs are starting, so on Friday of this week, I believe we have our club fair at the high school. I've already actually gotten a few requests to speak to you about certain clubs, but I will get you a full list later. So there's going to be some fundraising done with the clubs, obviously. And back to school night is on Wednesday of next week. I didn't write down a date, so I apologize. But there's definitely going to be back to school night, as you're all aware, I'm sure. That's basically it. And I forgot to introduce myself, which is kind of weird. But I'm Gavin Goldsmith, 11th grade. And have a good evening, everyone.
Thank you.
Board announcements.
Okay, go.
I don't know how to work this yet.
Okay, so I got to kick off my weekend Friday with Matlin's fifth grade picnic. Kids were engaged, having delicious lunch, and it was a lot of fun to attend, so thanks for inviting. And then I got to have my evening at Parkway, and we had movie on the lawn and got to see Hotel Transylvania, so I can't wait to see the sequel, which I'm sure my children will drag me to. But it was a lot of fun, so thank you.
Emily?
Feelings. I wanted to talk a little bit about a recent article in Newsday which described the struggles the Sachem School District is having. It had to reallocate money for special education services, among other things. Staff members were cut, clubs were cut to the tune of 50% of the clubs, and sports were cut. And in the Sachem superintendent's words, "We now know the lessons of not having a sufficient fund balance." The article went on to note that over the years, Sachem has drained its savings and had less than $17,000 in unassigned funds. There were drastic fluctuations in leave replacements and special education students who moved in over the summer. These are all things that aren't necessarily easy to plan for based on what happened the previous year. If special needs students come in district, we are required under federal law to give them an appropriate public education. That's as it should be. No disabled student's education should be based on what's left over or just happens to be there in the school district. But it is also something that is inherently personal and unpredictable. That's why it's an individualized education plan that each student has, and we have to have contingencies for those children. It doesn't give me any joy to point out the problems the Sachem district is having, but given the public auditor's report and the subsequent Newsday article with its inflammatory headline, about our district, I think it's important to point out the negatives of not maintaining reserves, appropriate reserves.
Well said.
Closer to what Lauren was talking about, Jody and I attended the Pasadena picnic on Friday. It was a fun time, great job, and it was a good kickoff to school. And so far, so good, I think. I'm sure we're going to segue into our building walkthroughs, but while we were there, you know, while we were at back-to-school nights and we got to see some of the work and a lot of the bond work that has gotten started and completed looks fantastic. So looking forward to seeing how the rest of it looks.
And I think that's a great segue for Deb to pick up on our board walkthroughs.
Is it on? Yeah, okay. I'd like to begin by saying that all of the work that was done over the summer in our buildings looked great. Kudos to Mr. Ward and his staff for all of their hard work and attention to detail, and to all of our staff who needed to be relocated. 77 staff members this summer needed to be relocated for work to proceed. I'd also like to thank all of our staff who had to pack and unpack their rooms over the summer. The buildings and grounds looked great, and the head custodians, when we went on our walkthrough, take such pride in how wonderful their buildings look, and they really deserve our thanks. I want to go on to say how much went right with the construction. The tennis courts at Matlin Middle School and POB JFK High School, the track at POB Middle School. Library renovations at the high school and Matlin created more open space and more student seating. New tiles, lights, and skylights throughout the district made our buildings lighter and brighter, and I'm assuming allows us to use less electricity to keep our buildings lit. It just changed the look of so many of the hallways and classrooms in the schools. New and resurfaced gym floors at some of our buildings, new roofs. The high school enlarged the testing center to accommodate more students. At Matlin, the stage was resurfaced. Is that saying it the right way? In the LGI, and offices were moved around the building to make it more of a student-centered building, a new PA and the bell system. At Stratford Road, there was a new baseball diamond, among other things. Parkway, new floors. I'll bet Page new floors in classrooms and the all-purpose room. Pasadena, new floors, lighting, and newly painted walls. POB Middle School, Z-Space room. The courtyard, which I'm going to mention in another second. And the band room, new floor, and was freshly painted. And the band teacher was so happy with his workspace for the students. I also want to mention that at POB Middle School in the courtyard, they're looking to do a rain garden, which will incorporate our STEAM initiative. It seems to be a great use of that space, and which will provide an amazing experience for our students. Also impressive was our new district-wide staff development center upstairs at Matlin, which will enhance the learning environment for both students and staff and will be a great asset to the district. And I just want to end by saying that when we were in Stratford Road, when we were in all the schools, we read the things that are on the various walls. And there was a piece of student work that this was a fourth grade new entrant to the district. And she wrote about how all the students in her class and in the school were so nice to her. And the staff was so nice to her that it made her feel so welcome, and how she loves her new school. And to me, that was the most important thing that I saw that day.
Anyone else? Ginger?
Yeah, everything we saw was just wonderful. But this year we started off different than any other year because of the asbestos removal. Classrooms were packaged, they were moved out, and I must say, the work that went into getting the classrooms ready from our custodial staff, our teachers coming in and making sure the classrooms look like home for the kids when they walked in, the buildings looked unbelievable.
Yeah.
That not only pristine, but they just showed the work and care and love that went into it. When we went into the high school, I said, it's so quiet. You know, usually you go into big buildings and it's noisy and it's stuff like this. You heard the teachers are all engaged with the students. The middle schools, the same thing. The elementary schools had paperwork all over the place already showing the work of the kids. And it's hard to believe it was just really a few days in. We were laughing at some of the things that the elementary kids wrote because it's the cutest thing to see. But I just really want to thank everybody who worked to make the opening day the success it was, because when you do the kind of things, and we use our buildings, we have Camp Apollo, we have our summer special ed program going on, those buildings are being utilized in every single way. And some buildings that principal, they couldn't get into the buildings to just literally the week before school opened to get their own places set up. So just a thank you to everybody for doing what you had to do. And we really, really, I can't say how much we appreciate it. We truly, truly appreciated it. And thank you for the time you took and for all the teachers who invited us into the classrooms to see what was going on. And then we will judge PLB Middle and Matlin Swag later on. We each got gifts, so. Well.
Emily?
Yeah, and it's funny because I'd taken pictures of some of the student work because that's one of my favorite things to do. And the kindergartners might not be able to express their feelings as eloquently, but someone had a little graph that they'd made with faces, first day feelings. There were very few under nervous or sad or upset. Excited had a couple, but by far and away the biggest stack was happy. It was, you can't quite see it here. See, I'm not actually texting anybody. This is actual board work here. Happy faces clearly won the day. And I was just really impressed by how articulate our kids are and how knowledgeable they've gotten, not just in terms of education, academic subjects, but from an emotional point of view. In Old Beth Page, there was something about what does empathy sound like? And students had things like, I can't believe that storm was so strong. We should help the people who need it. or I'm going to help that older man by holding the door for him. So I thought that was really great that that had gotten incorporated into the lessons. That and my other favorite thing that I took a picture of for Ms. Girash was about making mistakes, that, you know, think together, everybody's ideas are important, actively participate, make mistakes, and try again, which is such a huge part of learning. And I thought it was great that that's something they're explicitly being taught. It's okay to make mistakes and get frustrated and then try again. So those were my highlights.
First, I want to jump on everyone's thoughts about the work that you see displayed. And this was 2 weeks into the school year, so you know it's just going to get that much more better, that much better and wonderful as the year goes on. See, I made a mistake. You edited me. I corrected.
And that's okay. That's okay.
You can start again.
The other thing I want to acknowledge is it was a hot day, and those buildings get really hot. And that's why I'm very happy that as part of the whole bond initiative and what we're doing in parallel with our capital reserves and our own transfer to capital is we do intend to have all the instructional spaces air conditioned by the time all the bond work is done. It's not going to be overnight, but it's going to take a few years. But I'm glad this board committed to it. And after being in those rooms, you know, I appreciate it from the kids' point of view, but also the staff point of view. You know, in this day and age, who works in a non-air conditioned building? A teacher.
Unless
that's about it, unless they're working outdoors. So I think it's important that we're doing that. It's part of your bond. Not everyone's going to see it, but I think everyone's going to feel it. So we're happy about that, too.
So I think my announcements are going to be part of opening of school. We opened school. You know, it's always a delight for me as a superintendent to begin my day at the kindergarten center on the first day of school. It's just, you just cannot imagine what that feels like. Yes, it was hot. It really was hot in that, because they all come off the buses and they do go into the gym. But it's just amazing to me, and there's a wonderful picture that Mr. Sesney has sent me of the kindergarten students making their way upstairs. It's just within half an hour, they've figured out how to be on a line, to follow the teacher, and to walk up the stairs to their classroom. And yes, there were one or two criers, but mostly kids mostly parents crying, but with a lot of joy, and the teachers were just as excited to receive the children. We have some news from the high school. We have 15 seniors who've been, I'm sure Mr. Murray will also tell us about that, 15 students who are commended for national merit, which is a wonderful beginning of the scholarship process. We this past week opened up the portal for the New York State assessments, and I know Ms. Girash will be doing some follow-up with parents on understanding the results, but that was opened up. And I got some questions from one or two parents as to why we had not provided those assessments results prior to the opening of school. We did receive them a week before school opened, but we really wanted our teachers to have the results and our principals to have the results, because not everybody was around, and also to be able to look at the results and to process it so that when parents have questions, they're able to respond to it. So we're one of the few districts that has already made it available. It's on the portal. We started with new times in K through 8. Every building except for the high school started with new times. This was after our SRC review last year, Structural Review Committee review, and we have some tweaking to do with transportation, but for the most part, I would say that kudos to our transportation and all of the administrators for working as well to bring our children safely to and from school. So we are still tweaking, and we're collecting the data every day to make sure that whatever the issues are, we will get them down pat. You know, we may be making some changes to our zero period runs after we evaluate how timely the run is and how cost efficient. It may not be cost efficient to do it the way we're doing it, so we may move to another a better way, actually, of doing it is just to keep the regular run rather than make a zero period run, because it's the same. It's no different in cost to us. The other piece is, out of crisis came an opportunity for our kindergarten students, is the CASE team program. And we have, it, first of all five classes were sold out immediately. And it really has established a model for next year for our elementary schools. Parents clearly see this as a time that helps them get to work on time, but also has the children in some meaningful activities. So it's a lesson that we've learned. Cheryl Dender is to be commended, as Dr. Molieri, working together with Cheryl. And we've produced something that clearly children love. And so we're going to take a look at it for next year to see whether or not this is something that we would incorporate for the K-4 population for next year. So we opened up with 4,897 wonderful, wonderful, wonderful students. And we're looking forward to a wonderful year with them.
My understanding, we have a couple of retirees, so we're going to go out of order and honor them before we get to the reports and discussions. Vince, you're on.
Thank you. We do have, we'd like to honor two retirees this evening. If I can ask Ms. Hershkowitz to come to the mic first for our first retiree.
Good evening. We have a very lovely lady. Terry, why don't you come up and join me? We have Terry Corman, whose son was a student. My God, I had her student, what? How many years ago did I have your son? And your daughter, many, many, many years ago. Anyway, Terry has been phenomenal. She's been a rec aide. She served the district in various roles having to do with children. You worked in the cafeteria. You worked child care. You worked children's rec program for us, lunch rec. She's been fantastic. She knew every child. She came to me whenever she was concerned, knowing that, of course, our first line of caring, needless to say, is our kids. And Terry would come and say, so-and-so isn't eating lunch, and what are we going to do, and you're going to call the parents. And always, always concerned that they would do the right thing and that we would do the right thing by the children. Terry also made sure that the toys were working, anything that they had to do with indoor rec. And when Hank was in the building, you and Hank would work together and make sure everything, that the wheels were rolling and the kids were happy. So we're going to miss you tremendously, Terry. You're in the district since, I believe, 1990. And that's a lot of years. And we wish you lots and lots of good luck and good health in your next phase. So it's our loss, and we wish you lots of good luck. Thank you. And
Terry.
This lovely
display for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good luck with the future.
And just for a second, I think you'll enjoy hearing this. To show you the caliber of teacher that we have in this district, I got a text from my teacher. Hey, I'm in labor now, just now, and delivery, running some tests. Went to the doctor at 5, blood pressure was high. We'll know more after the blood results are back. Not sure if I'll be in tomorrow. Going to speak to the sub, she has everything just in case. Now, I don't know too many people or too many places where somebody in labor sends something like this and thinks first of the children and then of herself. So I thank you very, very much for the evening.
Thank you, Renelle.
Something
Terry, congratulations and best of luck in the future. Next, I'd like to invite Mr. Murray up to talk about our next retiree.
Thank you, Dr. Mulieri. If I could invite up to the microphone Cheryl Hertz. Cheryl is joined by her husband this evening. We welcome him as well on this special occasion. Cheryl, a little bit of the facts first, and then we'll talk a little bit about you as a person. But Cheryl started as a school monitor, part-time sub, in February of 1998. In June of 1998, she was assigned and appointed to a special education teacher aide position in the Plainview Middle School. She was then transferred to POB JFK High School to the testing center in 2000. And in 2008, her position changed to a one-to-one special education teacher aide. She remained a special education teacher aide until retiring on September 7th, 2015. I have to say I've had the pleasure of working with Cheryl many times over the years and in very different roles, depending on which students that she was working with. And I have to say that she really truly cared about the students that she worked with. She really enjoyed her time being in the high school and the camaraderie that she had established with her friends, her colleagues that she worked with. She worked very well with the teachers as well. And I know that this is just the start for you, Cheryl, as you move on to the next phase of your life. And I wish you all the best of luck and success and health and happiness. And, of course, we also knew your family as well, your children who went through our schools too. And we miss them as well. So we wish you all the best of luck in the future.
Thank you. And I would just like to give the school district thanks for allowing me to be part of it because they did so much for me and my family from working with the special ed children. It was just one of the most rewarding experiences that you gave me the opportunity to have, and I want to thank everybody.
Thank you. Very nice of you.
Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Here you go.
It's got a little box, too.
Cool.
Got it.
Ooh. Congratulations, Cheryl, and best of luck in the future. Thank you, Mr. Murray.
Normal agenda, PSAT day report.
I think he's going to do both.
Okay. Okay.
Scholarship first. He's going to do scholarship.
High school will present the scholarship report and PSAT day.
I'm sorry? Good evening, everybody. Once again, anyway, thank you for this opportunity to be able to speak with you all about the scholarship report for this past year, the year of 2014-15. I have to say, and I know I probably sound redundant when I say this, because it was a great year. Our student success last year was absolutely wonderful. I'm very, very proud of it. As Dr. Lewis was mentioning just a few moments ago, how much she enjoys being in the kindergarten center on the very first day of school. Well, I have to tell you, for me as building principal of the high school, it's really quite bittersweet on the very last day of school as our students exit and move on to the next phase of their lives. And this year, in particular, the class of 2015 is a very special class for me. I have built some great relationships with those students that I am very proud to talk about their successes. If we take a look at the points of pride from this past year, you're going to see a tremendous amount of student success. In particular, we could take a look at the National Merit Program, where we had 23 students who were acknowledged in total from the National Merit. Now, National Merit is, of course, comes out as a result of the PSAT exam, students that participate in that, which we'll be talking about in my next presentation. So I just want to keep that in mind as we're moving on. A little simple, not so subtle hint, I guess. But anyway, in addition to that, we take a look at, we have our Siemens recognition. We had one semifinalist for Siemens and an additional one for Intel. If we take a look, we had an American Psychological Association APA award winner. That really does not happen very often for us, and it was just what an outstanding achievement to be able to recognize that this past year. We had three students commended as scholar artists. And we also had two New York State DECA international students. That's at the international level. That hasn't happened in quite a while. And here we had two second place winners. So as you can see, I'm just highlighting a few of the points of pride. But it was just such a great year overall. If we look at the distribution of the 2015 graduates, the pie chart that you see in front of you is pretty similar to the results from the prior year, from the year 2014, where we had 86% of our students graduated going on to four-year schools and 12% in the two-year colleges. This year we had 2% more that moved into the military or undecided at that point in time. And of course, what we end up doing is really following up with them over the summertime and into the fall with what they're doing with their lives to provide additional support with them through our guidance department for those students that may need it. Taking a look at our special education program, I'm happy to say that we had 47 students receiving New York State Regents diplomas. That is up 16 from the prior year. We had four students with the Advanced Regents with honors, which is the same as the year before, so it's good news. And our Skills and Achievement Commencement Credential, this is a brand new for the year 2015. We had one student, actually, that received that. 23 of our students accepted to the four-year schools and 17 into two-year schools. So those numbers in special education are really very, so much to be proud of. I commend, of course, our members of our PPS department for their work. Our graduation rates for this past year, if you take a look, we had 95% of our students graduating from the class of 2015, and 76% of them, of course, with the Advanced Regents Diploma. When I say 95% graduating with Regents recognition. If we take a look at the number of AP papers written this past year, bless you, we went up 143 papers, additional papers. That's 1,256 papers. I don't know how we do it or how our students do it. As you know, it's a challenge for them, of course, for them to be able to do it, but they are taking advantage of our most rigorous program. And, of course, for us, it's taxing in itself because we administer these exams within our school during an instructional day, which, of course, poses a greater challenge with each year that it goes up. But if I just look back to the year 2012 and I see 936 students, I'm amazed that we've gone up that much. So, and it looks like by the way it is this year that the number is going to be greater when I give this report a year from now. That chart may look boring, but I'm very proud of it. I know it's consistent. It's very consistent from year to year. And I'm very, very impressed with our art department. They are just outstanding with the work that they do with our students. And it's no surprise to me that they perform so well on the advanced placement exam, because when you see their work, you just know there is great talent there. And they really tap into it. Our students are just so, so amazing. If we look at the English department, our passing rate for Regents as well as our mastery rate is represented in this chart. And really what, you know, our passing rate is outstanding, but what I'm really most impressed with is our improvement in mastery. In the 1 year, we improved 12%. In 2 years, 22%. So I'm going to have to ask Mr. Yagloff, of course, what his secret is. But I do know that, you know, they've been really working very hard at this, and in particular their work with their staff development that they've been doing over the past year in particular, I think has really been helpful. I think the teachers have been getting a lot out of it, and our, as a result, our students benefit from it. Looking at our results for the AP Language and Composition, as well as our AP Literature, we have the two results there, pretty consistent from one year to the other, as far as especially with the AP Language, 84% to 86%. And, of course, there is an increase with our literature as well. And that is, of course, an area that Mr. Yagloff and I continue to talk about to try and improve a little bit more with the literature, which, you know, as you could see from the prior year, that did take place. Looking at math, it's a bit complex, I have to tell you, in this, and I apologize if my bar graph isn't probably as clear as it could be, but I will do my best to try and explain to you. Of course, we've had some changes in math over the years with the termination of the integrated algebra exam and, of course, moving on into the Common Core algebra exam, which is the kind of like the light bluish grayish color that you'll see there. And in addition to that, of course, we've included the Common Core geometry results as well as the 2005 version of the Regents exam that is still represented there as well. What we could take a look at most in particular is if you look at Algebra 2 trig from the year 2014, there we had a result of 83%, and if you look at 2015, you'll see that we had 80%. But what is not represented actually there is the performance of our students through summer school, who bring that number of 80% up to 87%, actually 87.2% passed via our summer school. So if we include that data, which we really should do, of course, that does help us. Okay, and it does demonstrate that we also do have more students. I'm sorry?
That was a very tough experience.
Yes, it was. Thank you, Dr. Lewis, for acknowledging that. Yes. I'm sorry? The summer school. That's a good question. I don't want to swear to it if it is, Ms. Shulman, but what I'll do is I'll verify that and get that chart back to you. So this way it's included all across the board. Okay? If you're looking at the Common Core results, we actually had gone up a half percent increase. I know it's both 95 there, but they're both rounded off. But it is a small marginal point, but just to demonstrate that we are being consistent, if not improving, in that area. And I think that's pretty much it as far as it goes for that. If we look at the mastery levels, and when we're talking about the Regents exam, okay, as you will see, we did increase almost double as far with the Common Core algebra, and that is, of course, something that we are continuing to focus on. With our geometry, you'll see it was a 29% mastery, and, of course, that's a brand new exam. So all of that information, of course, is new to us, but we're using that information to only help us going forward in the future. With our passing rate for our AP exams, if you take a look at the Calculus AB and Calculus BC, I know that is always a question about how can we get more students to participate. In particular, Mr. Bertan, that is a question that you often ask me when we have a moment to discuss it. And I'm very proud to say that we actually have had a steady increase in our participation. In fact, for this year alone, we have 44 students enrolled in the AB and 54 students enrolled in the BC, which is an improvement for us, and we're continuing to work on getting more students involved in that. Looking at the statistics, we did have a decrease in enrollment in that area, which, of course, does affect this small since it is a smaller cohort, does affect our statistics there. Our music results, very proud to say that we had an increase there. 100% of our students participating in that did pass that exam. When we look at science, if we take a look at most recently, of course, with our physics results, our chemistry results, We did have a slight decrease in chemistry, and that is one area in particular that we are continuing to focus on. Of course, the results are still really quite commendable, but we did, you know, go down a little bit in that area. Same thing, of course, with our physics. That is a very difficult, challenging exam. Both of them are, and of course, we continue to work with Mrs. Barry and the teachers. I know, in particular, speaking with the physics teachers, they were a bit disappointed in the results themselves, and are being quite reflective of using item analysis of what could be done to make things better for this year's group of students. With regard to our science results, of course, for those students that are achieving mastery, we have a 6% increase in living environment. I'm very proud of that. That is an extremely challenging exam, dealing with that cohort of students that take that course. And, of course, if you look down at chemistry, of course, that's a part there that really did upset us as well. We are going to be working hard this year to make sure that our students in that area are getting the information that they need and are being reflective and doing what they can to provide them with the additional resources necessary, as well as for the teachers. With regard to our AP exam, those that are passed AP exams this past year, if we take a look in particular at our biology course, 13% increase in the percentage of students that passed that exam. When we look at the 37% for chemistry, we're saying, oh boy, chemistry again. Well, we actually had an increase in enrollment in that course. So we had a lot of students that are taking that course that are trying to take the challenge of the course, but had some difficulty with it as well. So, of course, we commend those students for taking the challenge, taking the course. I mean, it's only to their benefit for them to be a part of it, but part of the result is when you sometimes get the increase in enrollment in these courses, you may not get the results that you want. So, of course, we want to continue the increase in enrollment, but how can we support those students who may be struggling? And it's really identifying those students early on in the school year, those students that are beginning to struggle, what can we do to help them? In addition, I also wanted to acknowledge that there has also been no examination released within the past 5 years for the teachers to be able to use refer to for mostly updated questions for them to be able to take a look at. So they're hoping that there is going to be an exam released soon. Bless you. When we take a look at our social studies data from this past year, there's been a lot of work done over the past few years to best align the instruction with Common Core shifts and, of course, building our historical thinking skills for our students. And as you can see, they're really quite consistent from year to year. So I want to commend them in both exams, global history and U.S. history, for great success in both exams. Looking at their mastery rates, we had a slight dip, of course, as you see in the global history, but of course we had an increase of students participating in that course. So similar to what we were discussing before, that is part of it. But we had, 76% the year last year, but it was 74%, of course, the prior year. So it is still yet rather consistent. When we take a look at our advanced placement results, we had an increase of 15% in our U.S. government and politics. I mean, that is outstanding, the level of the passing rate for those students that are taking that course. And, of course, macroeconomics, which is one course we've discussed an awful lot over the past few years. And, looking at the data, you'll recall and say to, Jim, what are we doing? What can we do? And, there have been a lot of changes that have taken place, and I commend, Ms. Carnesi working with the teachers in her department who have also been quite reflective and open-minded. And as you can see, the results show for themselves, an increase of 29% passing for the macroeconomics exam. Outstanding. World languages. Yeah, I'm sorry about that 0.4% there in Spanish, but as you can see, what a great year. I didn't want to I didn't want to round it off and say 100% because it really, as you could see, it was just about. But that's what it is. So great job passing rate, of course, in our world languages. And for those that are achieved mastery, we had an 89%, which is a small drop that we had in French, but it is a very, very small cohort taking these courses. The 63%, of course, in Spanish is something that I'll be working with our new department supervisor for that, Dr. Chan, when he takes the realm within the next month or so. But in the meanwhile, of course, I'm working with Mr. Lubin to take a look at that data as well, working with their teachers. And of course, with our AP data, if you take a look at that, outstanding, an increase of 9% in 1 year for Spanish and 27% over in 2 years. So I just have to commend the teachers, especially our Spanish teachers, who really worked hard to get the students to rise to the occasion. That is pretty much it for our data for this past year. But I in addition to that, I do want to say that, we talked an awful lot about the high school this past year, the good and the bad and the challenges that we faced. And I have to say the high school, starting off the year 2015-2016, better than ever. And we are going to have an amazing year. I'm really looking forward to this coming school year. So thank you very much for your support, your continued support of all of our programs. And This data, of course, is in credit to you as well as the Board of Education for always supporting our students and encouraging the best for them. I'll take questions if you have any.
Anyone have any questions? Emily?
And I suppose really the person to answer it would be the foreign language chair, but I was just wondering if there was any different. I mean, our mastery rates for foreign language are really very good, but since we introduced 2H, if there's been any kind of change in the level of the work the students are doing or, how that's affected students.
I do remember speaking with Mr. Dennis about that last year, and I have to say that he was really quite impressed with the level of work that they're doing, and the teachers were too.
I still don't have a question, only a comment. I really just want to congratulate and thank the entire high school staff. Great report, great results, and I particularly want to thank the social studies department and the chairperson because we have been very concerned with macroeconomics for the past few years, and we couldn't be happier with the results. So thank you.
Anyone else?
Great job.
I had two things. First, I also want to thank all those middle school and elementary teachers as well, because they didn't suddenly become brilliant in high school. It was a whole work in progress all along the way from kindergarten through. I do have a question. When our kids take courses that are college credit courses, do we follow up to see if they pass the proficiency tests for their universities, which would have them get credit in that area when they go to college? I know it's probably the answer is probably we don't, but most of those kids are taking that proficiency test while they're still enrolled as a senior.
Yeah, that's not that data that's readily accessible to me, to be honest with you. But perhaps that we can work on trying to see if we can get access to that going forward.
Thanks, because I'd just be very curious. I know it's disappointing when you shell out $300 or whatever, and then you find out it doesn't count.
I didn't see this statistic here, but I remember seeing it in one of the packets that in terms of, for example, our ACT English scores, we were, way above the mean for Nassau County and nationwide. So I thought that was something worth celebrating, not because I think scoring well on the ACT is the be-all and end-all, but the fact is it does matter for college admissions, and if it's giving our kids a leg up, good. I wanted to commend the English department for that.
I would also, in closing, again, I just wanted to thank, of course, all of the department's leaders and supervisors who are here this evening in support of, you know, of the programs offered at the high school, and for the great work that they put into the detail of the scholarship report for this past year. It's a pleasure working with each and every one of them.
I think what's also important for the public to realize is that we have, over the past few years, been meeting with you every single year to talk about whether it's futuring or what can we do and how much we were more money we were willing to put in to offer our kids more rigorous courses, more course offerings and everything else. And that's part of a budget process that we go through to ensure that our children have such a myriad of programs that they can look at. And I just want to thank everybody who works to make the new programs or look at the courses we had and say, you know, they really have to be tweaked. We have to gain the interest of the kids again. So to your staff, kudos for everything, and to the board for making sure that we've had monies to be able to do it. Good for us. And the, right.
Which reminded me of something else that I wanted to bring out. I mean, one of the most sort of, I thought, interesting numbers that was up there was the difference in the number of students who, number of AP papers that were written in 2012 versus 2015. And it was something like a 34% increase, which is, to quote a Republican presidential candidate, huge. So, and again, I don't think that, you know, and AP score is any absolute measure, but given that schools, colleges, admissions departments do look at the rigor of the courses taken, I think that's been a real sea change, and I think it's been something that's been helpful to our students.
Thank you all. I'm sorry? No, I know. I was going to bring it up on the computer. Oh, do you want to? No, I'm not going anywhere.
Tommy's logging on.
Okay, I'm back again. I'm here now to speak to you about the PSAT day, October 14th, 2015. And really just to explain what is going, I'm sorry, my microphone? What is going on our October 14th, 2015 and why? First off, the PSAT exam is changing. It's been redesigned for this year. There will only be two administrations of it. In the past, there have been three, two exams and really the one makeup day. But because the PSAT is changing, and it's changed because of the new SAT in preparation for the new SAT, they're only offering the two dates, October 14th and October 28th. Just so you know, my cohort of North Shore principals, we petitioned to College Board against this because a lot of us are adversely affected by the fact that the test is being administered only on a school day, where in the past we had the option of doing it either on the school day or on a Saturday. We traditionally always gave the exam on a Saturday. But College Board claims that they surveyed school districts and that most preferred the Wednesday administration over the weekend administration, and claiming, across the country is because of religious reasons, in addition to that, transportation was an issue for some school districts, extracurricular activities. So they opted to go for this 1 year only with a Wednesday administration for this exam. Now, our options, well, we could choose not to administer the exam, which of course really is not an option. We want our students to be able to be exposed by the exam, the opportunity to take it. Or of course we could administer the exam to all interested students. We of course discussed this. I first heard about this over a year ago, and we've actually started this conversation back then and have had many conversations to discuss what we are going to do. I'm happy to say that our district has committed to pay for all students in the junior class to take the exam. And for any sophomores that are interested in taking the exam, they're going to be taking it at a reduced rate. Our plans for PSAT Day, which we have not released yet to the public yet because we were really trying to finalize things to make sure that this really all could work. Our students right now are going through registering for the exam, so all of this, of course, will be contingent upon the number of students who actually sign up. If the number is low, and it's similar to like when we're taking an AP exam, that we could be able to conduct a regular school day at the same time as administer the exam, well, then that we'll have to, of course, take a look at. But as of right now, we have 100 students who are registered to take the exam, and it could be as high as 600 students, which is what we are anticipating ordering exams for. If that is the case, how do we conduct a regular school day with the rest of the time period, for the rest of the time period, when the exam starts approximately 7:30 in the morning? It would be really very difficult to be able to house them in the building and, of course, proctor the exams with teachers as well as conduct classes. So we sat down and came up with four different sets of groups that are going to be addressed. All of our PSAT test takers is Group A. Group B would be the students in grades 9 and 10 that are not taking the PSAT exam. Group C would be grade 11 students, again, those students that are not taking the PSAT exam. We're thinking, by the way, if I didn't mention it before, that the students that would take the exam are, again, grades 10 and 11 for the most part. And, of course, our seniors in grade 12, that would be Group D. So I will break down and go over each group how we plan to address the day. For Group A, for those students that are taking the exam, they will come in regular time in the morning. That if they take transportation with our school, they'll still come in at the regular time period. We plan to do pre-administration in advance earlier that week so that those students will be prepared and ready to go in and take their test. Once the exam ends, we're thinking around 10:45, 11 a.m., we'll, of course, provide lunch for those students, and that is something the district will provide as well for them, which is wonderful. It's bagel, water, and fruit. If students choose to or have other dietary restrictions, they need to bring something else in, they're, of course, welcome to do so. After they have their lunch and their little bit of a break, those students will attend a financial literacy workshop, which we think would be beneficial for them. I've actually had some students that have come back to me asking if that could be a required course. So it planted the seed for us to be able to use this as an opportunity for our students to be able to give them a taster of what it really is all about. From 12:50 to 1:30, we want to provide an academic support period, and I'm calling that instead of remedial so we can differentiate between the two. Their attendance will be taken. We'll have to have students sign up in advance with where they want to go, but it will be an opportunity for students to be able to work with their teachers, or teacher, I should say, for a class that they may need some support in. And then at the end of that time period, 1:35, our students that could go home, because that would be the end of their regular school day. They could attend remedial if they still wanted to go to a regular remedial period. And, of course, many of the other students would be staying around for athletics and extracurricular activities. So, again, that's just Group A, our PSAT test takers. Group B, all of grade 9, because they really wouldn't be taking the exam. In addition, our grade 10 students, those I'm including, are those who are opting not to take the exam. For that population, actually for populations B, C, and D, groups B, C, and D, would all have a delayed opening that day, but not the regular delayed opening time period. We wouldn't be able to do the regular delayed opening time period because it's not going to be a district-wide delayed opening, and the kindergarten center buses would not be able to run, or we wouldn't be able to run because of the kindergarten center buses, I should say. So our delayed opening would take place at approximately a 9:45 a.m. time slot to start picking up students, dropping them off at the high school by 10:10 a.m. So we could have a 10:15 a.m. start for the day. So from 10:15 to 11:30 a.m., we're going to have two sessions for this group of students. Session one, they would be learning study skills, and that would be in our LGI. From 11:30 till 12 o'clock, we'll provide them with lunch as well. From 12 o'clock to 12:45, session two, more study skills work with them. In addition, we'd like to introduce some test anxiety management. Our school psychologists do great work with our students, typically before midterms and the end of the year exams. So it would be an opportunity for them to be able to provide some assistance for our students that are in need with that. And in addition, we also would like to be able to provide some math and writing support as well. From 12:50 to 1:30 p.m., we'll once again provide that academic support. We're going to be doing that actually for all of our groups at that time. And, of course, the remedial time period. For Group C, these are our grade 11 students that are not taking the PSAT exam. They'll, of course, have that same delayed opening. Come in for the 10:15 to 11:15. They'll take the financial literacy workshop. From 11:15 to 12:15 p.m., we're going to do an employability skills workshop. And really what the employability skills workshop, I don't want to make sure you know my details. It's really information to help our students prepare for life in the real world. Looking for a high school job that many of them are looking for, employer expectations that they may have, talking about attire, appropriate attire, punctuality, resume writing, interviewing skills. There we have a guest speaker in mind that we'd be able to bring in for that. Lunch would be provided for those students at a little bit of a later time slot so that we would be able to accommodate the majority of our students on the earlier slot. From 12:50 to 1:30, we'll provide that academic support, and the same thing with 1:30 to 2:20 p.m. And our Group D. Okay, these are our seniors. We went back and forth with our Group D on really what we would do with our students, our senior high students. We initially came up with thinking that that would be a great opportunity for them to be able to work on fulfilling their community service credit obligation, which we also have included in this. But we also thought that, you know what, there's other things that they could be doing, especially for some of our students who are well underway of completing that requirement already and may not necessarily need that time or a full day for them to be able to do that. So they would be coming in and choosing between they will participate in two different sessions. We have six opportunities for them listed above. If you can't read them, the first one is helping with their college applications and or their college essay. We have their guidance counselors ready and available for them to sit down and work one-on-one with them. They'd also be able to work in the research program for those students that participate in our research program. They would be able to do some community service, and we'll be working with our health teachers and Mr. Braco in coming up with what opportunities that they would be able to do during that time slot. But for those periods, if they are doing it during the 10:15 to 11:15, they would actually be able to help out with our other workshops that we have going on with our underclass students. If for those students that are participating in our robotics program, they would be able to participate there. Our financial literacy workshop, if we have students that are interested in going to that, they could do so for the first session time slot. And, of course, the employability skills workshop, any student that is interested in that could attend session B. Of course, we have that space available for them all. They would also have the later lunch period provided by our district, and, of course, the academic support period as well, and, of course, remedial. So, in closing, I know it sounds like an awful lot going on, but it would be a challenging day for us to be able to conduct, depending on the number of students that we have participating. If we have 600 students, of course, our focus is we want to make sure the integrity of the exam is maintained. But I commend our district because where other districts are opting to close the school day for students and keep them at home, we're providing something that we believe is meaningful and purposeful and saying we want you in school and we are going to make the time valuable while you are here. In addition to that, of course, our students will be exposed to the PSAT exam. So they're going to get the best of all worlds. We did think about, and if you're concerned of, did we consider at all running a regular school day at the same time, or at least for after the PSAT exam took place? And I really should put it out there that, feedback that I've had with parents as well, because I've had a lot of parents who have been very concerned about really what the plan is. And they have expressed to me that there is concern if their students are coming in for period 6, 7, and 8, they may be coming in for a lunch period, their art class, a phys ed class. Nothing against them, but they would feel they're missing out potentially on their math or science. So there was a concern that their children will be missing out on something. So we tried to keep that in mind, that in a plan like this, they're not missing out. Of course, everybody is missing out on a regular day of instruction on that day, but we'll have to be able to recapture that within the days that follow. And that's pretty much our plan.
I have a couple of questions, sort of an obvious one. I'm assuming that the bell schedule won't be going on during the PSAT. Is that right?
Bell schedule?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
If we go with the plan like this, then no.
Okay. The proctors would be who? These would be substitutes brought in to proctor the PSAT?
Again, if we have a day like this, no, they would be our teachers in our school that would be proctoring our exams.
Okay. And that, which leads me to one of my other questions. For the Group B grades 9 and 10 students, the ones who are not the PSAT test takers, for session 2, those would be in different classes that would be going on? That wouldn't be large group instruction, would it?
No, I would have to use my other large space. We were thinking for the conducting the exam for the PSAT, we'll use the second floor, possibly in its entirety for that, and the first floor spaces we would be using for our workshop sessions. So any kind of large group area, whether it be the choir room, orchestra room, our all-purpose rooms that we have, in addition to, of course, the LGI.
Okay, thank you.
Can you give us an idea how you're going to inform all the parents about this plan?
Yeah, my intention was once, of course, this plan was approved and the Board of Education was fully aware of it, and we're going to be e-blasting the parents out and putting things on our, you know, our website as well, communicating fully to our students and our parents all of this information. I've shared with the PTA on numerous occasions last year, you know, about this day is coming and really, but as far as what our plan was, of course, we didn't have that
right.
Finalized.
Thank you.
Sure.
Anyone else? Thoughts? Just looking at the presentation before, you know, the PSATs is an important gateway test to college. You know, it has to do with, you got your merit scholarships we were bragging about before, but also it's kind of like when the colleges find out about you, that's when the junk mail starts based on, you know, basically they share the PSAT results. If 85% of our kids go to college, four-year college, you got to think 85% of them will be taking the PSATs, which means only 15% wouldn't be. So I'm just saying, when we look at that group C, that's that grade 11 students not taking the test, that should be a very small cohort of children in the plan. My point being that if you don't take the test, then you're not in the running for anything of that any of these colleges look at. So if 85% of our kids are applying to four-year colleges, the PSATs are something you should be taking, especially if we're going to pay for it. You know, I'd hope we're advising our students to do that. And as far as the 10th graders, I suspect that a lot of 10th graders would want to take it simply because they get to kind of look at the new test as a practice version versus they get to take it again. Whereas I can certainly understand, yes, an 11th grader who took the PSATs already in 10th grade probably will stick with that score rather than taking the new score, but I still expect it would be a very high level of kids taking it. So I just I commend the plan. You know, you're coming up with something, obviously, that's kind of shoehorning into a system, and, may, you know, we'll see how the results are, and whatever happens, we can adjust for the following year. But I do commend that we're paying for every kid to take the PSATs, and I hope that they will. All the juniors.
Yeah, I just wanted to, it's true that the students who are going to receive, say, national merit money are a fairly small percentage, but on the other hand, it's sort of, how shall I put it, you have to be in it to win it, and I know in the past there have been students who weren't aware of how much money can be at stake. Sometimes, I mean, aside from the money that NMSQT, the nice people at College Board give out, there are a number of schools that give large scholarships to kids who are national merit finalists, and in some cases, free rides. So it's not insignificant money. And again, we're not talking about, you know, I acknowledge that's not a huge subset who's going to win, but I think sometimes students aren't aware of it and are missing out on an opportunity for scholarships that they could otherwise have.
Thank you, everybody.
Last time we went through and we pared down the list, I think, pretty significantly. We've published the list that has those removed items shut down. Basically, we'll be voting on this later, and I'm opening the floor for anyone who has any changes that they think we missed or that we didn't get or that we should get. Emily? Hey,
one thing I wanted to bring up that I know has been brought up in the past is in terms of communications and advocacy, which is Roman numeral 4, we've talked about utilizing Infinite Campus more than we are currently and school wires. So I'm wondering if that's something we should put on there as something we're specifically looking at as a goal. I'm wondering if people could sort of settle down out there. It's very distracting.
I got the message.
Be more specific as to extending the implementation of school wires in Infinite Campus. I don't have the right verb there, but that's where I'm going.
Can you word it into one of them, or are you thinking about adding a J?
Expanded social media options for communication and expanded use of our...
Infinite Campus and school.
School wires, yep.
Mr. Greenberg.
So we had identified 51 subheadings last time. It's now pared down to 38, which is a good start. I still think we could pare it down a little bit more, but I kind of wanted to, again, go through each of the subsections. One, in particular, under student performance, there are a few areas that either I think can be combined or suggest to me that that is the end, that's the means to an end as opposed to a goal itself. So the combining J and K, it says J is examine the success of the one-to-one initiative and the use of Z space in the secondary schools, whereas K is explore the expansion of it. Seems like that would be something to combine. Examine the success and the potential expansion of one-to-one initiative.
Right.
The second thing is L, investigate the feasibility of a plan to implement algebra for all in the eighth grade. That, I think, presumes that that's exactly what we want to do. We want to have algebra for all. The feasibility of something, in my view, the way I read it at least. And I think, as our conversation happened last time, I don't think we're all necessarily in agreement that we should.
Well, that's why it's an investigation.
I didn't like that. That's why you're investigating. Initially, you said create a plan to implement algebra for all, and then we sort of softened it.
Investigate the feasibility of it.
Consider whether or not that makes sense.
So you investigate it to find out whatever the conclusion will be.
Yeah. We're looking to see if we want to do it or not.
Right. I'm looking up the definition of feasible right now, and it's something that is practicable, practical, workable, attainable, realizable, viable, realistic, sensible, or reasonable. So I think feasibility kind of covers it. It's not assuming. It's looking at whether it's actually something.
All right. Look, as long as when we're looking at this, you know, we haven't come to some conclusion, which is...
The word feasibility does not...
And investigate.
Yeah, which is why I had asked to have the language sort of softened. This feedback in the first place, because I was the one last time with all the questions, and I'm not sold on the idea. So,
yeah.
Which is also just to be clear, just talking about that idea and the feasibility. If you look at N, we've talked about exploring expanded opportunities for K-6 specials, and. Since we're talking about that, I'm not saying take it off or amend it, but one of the things that our new world language chair had mentioned kind of reconfirmed something that we had discussed before, which is, for what it's worth, studies have shown that if you if students at an elementary level are exposed to one language for X number of years and only one language, they're less prone to continue to take that language in going forward into the middle school years and so forth. So however we address this, whether it's through a committee looking at it or through Central, and obviously that's the means to explore the expanded opportunities, I would just like to put out there as part of the specials, we're looking at the whole thing, it's not just about languages, though I think that's something that we want to explore, but it's also about trying to expand the use of technology, research, coding in some way, that be considered as part of it when we do that. Just making a statement. Cool. And then the last thing, which I know was resisted a little bit from last time, is D, which is develop a 3 to 5 year plan for conducting a comprehensive review of all programs and services. I think it's a great thing, but that's the means to the end that we want. That is something that's used to establish clear standards of performance aligned with 21st century skills. So I almost feel like we're dictating that that's how we should approach it. But that's just my view of it. It seems like it's not a goal. That's how you get to your goal.
But I think we are dictating that there's really a 3 to 5 year plan, which currently doesn't exist. So by having a plan which people can be used and measured growth against, you have something that's there. It's the starting point to have something. Am I correct that we do not currently have a 3 to 5 year plan that's documented? So to me, it is a goal because you're not going to get to that end if you don't achieve that goal.
I mean, I disagree. That's okay.
I'm not suggesting that you don't develop a 3 to 5 year plan, but that's not a goal. I mean, we're supposed to be setting goals and being, you know, and policies. We're not supposed to be dictating exactly how, you know, all the specific means to get to that end. And so I feel like it's a philosophical difference of what our role here is in the board in terms of setting, you know, what the end game should be as opposed to how you get there. And I think now we're dictating exactly how you get there. I just think it's inappropriate.
And that's a goal that I think has been hugely important to the success financially of this district, the 3 to 5 year plan.
I know it kind of says this in the bold part of Goal 2, but under B, where we say that we're developing an adult DASA policy that mirrors the expectations of the current DASA policy, I'd like to add that creates an environment of kindness and caring. Does anybody have Mr. Greenberg, a problem?
I like that.
Same.
Thank you. Question. Wait, could turn it on again. Last time we took out to present a fiscally responsible budget that our community will support, to me that is a goal of our board. So I'm not quite sure why we took it out.
Because it's in the bold. It says in fiscally responsible budget.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah, that's the big
okay,
goal.
Okay, that's a big goal. The big right. Okay.
Okay. Communications. We had the change that someone suggested in communications. We got that in A to add Infinite Campus and School Wires.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just? One of the subheadings on four is the I is the let. I think isn't it Let's Talk or is it Let
right.
Talk? Let's Talk.
Yeah.
Is that? I think that was Lauren's. Is that right?
Let's Talk.
Dr. Lewis's.
Could you just describe that for those? Because I know not everyone knows exactly what that is. I thought that would be. Yeah, I know we had talked about it two meetings ago, but it wasn't something that I think we really mentioned last time. So I think
it
it's worth.
Kind of new.
Okay, so it is a new product that's out there. If you can imagine the Ask the Superintendent button that's on the website, that's a very linear way of conversing. That is, the public pushes the button, and then that then I respond to the person. This new product is, it's called Let's Talk, and it, what it does is the public, again, would hit the button, but that button would be then point them to either departments, that information is filtered to departments or on particular subjects, and it is archived, and also the public gets a response that the rest of the public can see. It also looks at the social media, and it pulls in all social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of these conversations that are going on. Yes, I did say Instagram, without me having an account, but pulls that in on all conversations that are occurring about the district or a program or a department. So it pulls it in and helps you to see what's trending about the district so that you can respond. So it's really a 21st century tool that a lot of districts are taking a look at. We've looked at it. It is a BOCES product. You know, it's offered through BOCES, so we were able to do it through a COSER. And once we do complete all the trees, because you have to complete all the trees for who gets what, who responds, we will be showing it to the public and to the board. Some of our administrators saw a very brief introduction to it this summer. So it's a 21st century tool that many of that takes that Ask the Superintendent button and makes it, it sort of becomes a better product.
So could we combine that with A?
Yes, we certainly could. You know what, I really did put it in just so that we could have this conversation. So I'm good. Okay.
We had asked for feedback from our stakeholder groups. Have we received any feedback?
No.
We have our first PTA meeting tomorrow. That would be a major stakeholder group. But I really haven't heard anything from anyone. And it's been posted on the website.
Yeah. Can we hold this and have this on our next agenda as opposed to approving it now, just so since school just began, to see if we get any feedback?
It's your goals.
Okay.
Cool.
You do what you think
we'll
is right.
Vote on it later.
Okay.
Push it for another.
That's fine.
Get feedback.
We'll put it on again.
Good. Cool. Okay. Next brings us to boardroom update. As you can see, we've been making some upgrades to the boardroom. We'd like to provide a little background information of what's going on and why. As part of the bond, we're doing district-wide asbestos abatement. For the most part, this involved floor tiles. As you can imagine, in buildings as old as ours, floor tiles with asbestos were everywhere, even in the tiles under the carpet in the boardroom. So this summer, we had to rip up the floor and replace it. As with any remodeling job, things don't always go as planned. In the process, our old boardroom furniture was badly damaged. Ginger Lieberman volunteered to run point on the boardroom remodeling project. She put a lot of time into picking the color scheme and working with vendors for the walls and carpet. In addition, she now had to shop for a new boardroom table. You may not know it, but big U-shaped tables are not cheap. I think one of the first estimates for an all-wood model was over $30,000. So Ginger was able to work with our vendors and find a very handsome and rugged solution for a fraction of the price. So we're going to be getting rid of these plastic things in front. As you know, we also record the audio for our meetings. You've heard the feedback that's been going on this meeting, driving us a little crazy. And we also post the audio on the district website, and it doesn't always sound as good as we'd like it to sound. So we felt the time was right for an audio upgrade for the boardroom, not just new mics, but a new mixing board, recording device, and speakers, too, so we avoid some of these feedback loops. In addition, the room is used by central administration on a daily basis for training, interdepartmental meetings, and district or grade-wide conferences. So we also need to make sure that there's the appropriate technology for these uses as well, which is, you know, smart boards, projectors, et cetera. Our new furniture has been ordered and will hopefully be installed by Thanksgiving. We're still working on the technology piece, but we hope to still have that finalized and installed by the time the furniture arrives. How are we paying for all this? At the end of last year, we had some money left in our equipment codes, and we pulled up some furniture purchases in our equipment codes that we were going to use for this room. We didn't have the orders ready, so we pulled up some furniture purchases for the elementary schools that are in this year's budget. So that frees up some funds from this year's budget to pay for the new boardroom furniture. The technology portion of the boardroom will come out of this year's technology budget, which we did raise substantially during the budget process. We do not yet have a final cost estimate for the technology, but we'll work to maximize our investment while keeping our cost control. I want to give a big thank you to Ginger for running point on this project. She's done a great job, and I know we'll end up with a boardroom that we'll be proud of and will be useful for many years to come.
I just want to say that when we looked at the table, and Emily was also with me, we went with the laminate, which is
really almost under $9,000 or whatever it is. It has to seat 16 people, and it will also have a permanent table, so that when people are doing whatever kind of reporting they're doing to the board or making any kind of report, the computer will be housed in it so that they don't have to sit at a separate table. And all the wires behind Gene that you can see will run underneath into that table, so it will hide everything. And it'll be a storage unit for anything else. People giving reports will have it to go, so it's a very functional thing. The old table that was broken was 31 years old, and it cost $14,000. It had been taken apart so many times that the final time there was no life left to it. So hopefully when this table comes in, it'll last another 30-some-odd years, and it'll never leave this room. So yes, it'll be an investment.
You brought it from Jamaica Avenue.
Yeah. And also that original table came from Jamaica Avenue here. But it was just one of those things that it fell apart, and we were sorry. Couldn't use my super glue.
One other thing I just want to add, you notice that there's nothing up on the walls right now. Before Dr. Judith Chen retired, one of the projects that she worked on with me was to create spaces for student artwork. So there will be frames that match the table that Ginger picked, put up, representing each school. So there'll be a plaque representing each school, so there'll be 8 schools. There'll be frames around the display boards, so it'll be much more professional. And for the audience, you'll be able to actually see the artwork because it'll be nice and large. And the boardroom plaques and things will all be aligned in one place rather than randomly put up.
That brings us to public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall 1, state their name and address, and 2, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process, or those of others could in some way be violated. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. We ask that everyone please be courteous and quiet while people talk so we can all hear what they have to say. The floor is open.
Susan Stewart, 36 Bluebird Lane, Plainview, New York. Hi. I'm here tonight because I understand and I appreciate the logistical nightmare of a midweek PSAT causes for the school at the high school level. But I think you also have to realize you're looking at this as a segmented portion of a larger, I want to say issue, not problem. Be positive. The students who are taking the PSAT are also your students who are possibly taking your new Common Core algebra. So there's, and I say, and I don't say algebra trick, I say algebra. The curriculum has changed to the point where trigonometry units have been dropped from the curriculum, most of them. I can't say every piece of them, but we know there's a deficit. Now, I've gone through the AP courses with my older child. When it comes to physics, They need trigonometry. Pre-calculus, you need your foundation in trigonometry. You want to take both calculus AB and calculus BC AP. You need trigonometry. We're losing another day of instruction. We're already one of 5% of statewide districts who started a week behind due to our calendar. You control the calendar. If we have a mild winter, those students in Algebra 2 walk into a Regent on Wednesday after a six-day break with no review, no support. This is very out of the box. I don't know if it's possible. If you thought about it, call for the high school snow day and give us back at least that Tuesday before the June Regent so they have the kids have support. We have to figure somehow how to get those trig units into these kids' curriculum, because otherwise they're not going to have any success in AP world. And as far as the first time the College Board touches your kid is the PSAT, that's not true. SAT 2 subject test could be the first time in ninth grade when a child goes to. My daughter's AP exams, you had asked what happens to them in a private university setting. It could be used for placement. It can be used just for thank you. It could be used for electives. It won't be used for your major. Hannah took 10 or 11, two count. I love the AP rigor. I didn't do it for electives. I did it because she's prepared. She walked into her biology class. She knew 2 weeks worth of biology. That wasn't the purpose. The purpose so she understood what was expected of her, how to think as a college student. Am I finished?
I'm not sure I understand what you mean by calling for
Well, our calendar doesn't have testing days or extra days. The only place you could find it would be, let's call it a snow day, call it a testing day, however you want it. Give us back an instructional day when it really is needed, right before the June 1st Regent. Because those are the kids who are probably taking the exam, most of those kids.
Where would we get the day, though?
You get it on Tuesday. Because that Tuesday is an optional snow day.
I gotcha.
It's very out of the box, but I'm trying to make this calendar work. Take lemons and make it lemonade. Mm-hmm. Our kids are missing out. And also, the Algebra 2 reflects on the kids' GPA, which you want to talk about trying to get into a college. PSAT is not getting you into college. The SAT might, but the PSAT is not. We all know that. So I'm finding a different way so we don't lose instruction.
The contract... great idea, but you know, the teachers work 181 school days. So we cannot just create another day.
When are we putting trig in?
Pardon me?
When are we putting trig units in so that they'll be prepared for our AP advanced classes?
Mm-hmm. That's a conversation we should have.
Yeah.
That's a conversation that I've had with State Education Department. In fact, that's what I spent Friday doing. You're absolutely right. The state has realized that they've made a mistake again.
This class, 2018 and 17, sorry, not
right. It's not your class. The new math sequence is incorrect. And it is. We're missing the trig, and the superintendents have been very, very vocal about that.
Okay.
And we are working to undo that at the state level, but it's not going to happen.
Plainview's level, that you're in control of Plainview. This is where we have.
So we're having those conversations,
but it's
at the Plainview level as well.
Okay, but we also would be nice if not five parents knew about it and the kids didn't come home the second day of school and said, "Guess what? This is only Algebra 2," and nothing was said to the parents. I mean, we had this conversation 3 years ago when we talked about the Algebra 1, and we didn't have a parents' meeting until January.
Dr. Lewis, we have a parent meeting that will be coming up the first or second week in October. The letter will be going out tomorrow once it is finalized and the teachers can be present at the session.
And that will also maybe include how we're teaching the trig. I mean, I don't want to
harp on it, but... As much information that can be shared at that evening will be shared. But we will not, I'm going to anticipate that we won't have all the answers if things change at the state level.
Okay, I appreciate that. State Ed is controlling the Common Core. Plainview Board controls what's taught on top of, in enhanced. You can't add, Emily, you're shaking your head. We can't add things. You add STEAM all the time. You're adding it to the kindergarten center. So why wouldn't we put something that kids need for future success into a curriculum? You want to have those AP scores? You want to have kids taking these classes? You have to give them a foundation. Or are you saying that it's going to be up to the students, the parents, to homeschool? Because that's what it's going to come down to. Kumon's going to make the money. It's not like you can go into the local learning center and get flashcards for trigonometry.
Your point's well taken. The superintendent's acknowledged that the math is out of sequence. We don't have an answer for you today, but we're obviously going to do everything possible to make sure our kids get what they need to have. It's not going to be – we don't have an answer for you today. If you want an answer today, we don't have it. But we know there's a problem, and it'll be looked into, and thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Good evening. Jacques Wolfner, 151 Sutton Drive in Plainview. I was interested in hearing about all the things that we have accomplished in the capital program that's financed by our bond issues. But having served on that capital program committee, I recall that there were some really important structural projects that were required for our schools, not just replacing doors, but the window walls and things like that. I'm just inquiring, what is the schedule on the major structural aspects of that capital program? That's it. Thank you.
Stephanie Nelkins, 55 Acorn Lane. Piggybacking on what Susan Stewart was talking about, for parents of kids who are in Algebra 2, there's a very strong sense of urgency. I understand where you are. But from parent point of view, my kid is in a course. So basically, I want to know, what is this class? I'm pretty familiar with the Algebra 2 trigonometry, what it is. I re-familiarized myself with that. I'm attempting to get through the modules. They're a little bit crazy. You know, the algebra ones were crazy, and thank God they never had to do some of the stuff that was in there because it was off the wall. So I don't know what the modules really are, but what I would like is at least, you know, if there was there curriculum writing, I guess, for the new Algebra 2 thing? Course. So if there was curriculum writing, then I would hope that, and I'm assuming, you know, any math teacher involved in that knows a lot more math than me, what I would like to just know, and I feel that this should absolutely be able to answer right now, I could provide a list from JMAP of every topic that's been on the Algebra 2 trig regents. They break it down. I can send you the link. Bring it in. So it breaks down every single unit that's an Algebra 2 trig. And basically what I just want to know is which are the ones that we're going to get to or which are the ones we're not going to get to. And then at least I can look at that. And then from there I can say, okay, of these 17 things that we're not getting to, these do include what's on the ACT. These don't. And to see, you know, at least I have a basis to go forward and to figure out what it is. Because honestly, starting now, I could possibly have a chance of getting that into my kid by that time. I can't do this in June. He's got an AP exam coming up. You know, but knowing now, the more time we have a chance to maybe work it in. And I don't think it can happen during the course of just the regular 42 minutes or whatever it is, you know, 5 days a week. There's too much math. You can't stuff 15 pounds in a 10-pound bag. you know, and I understand that, but I think the concerns we have are very viable. I understand the position you're in. I haven't made my phone calls to state ed yet. I was hoping to get the information from you guys first. But from my point of view, look, this is what it was. If you can just tell me, you know, we're not teaching, you know, these 17 things. It's not a judgment thing. I'm not going to be mad at you. I just need to know what they are. I think it's a very fair question. And if there was curriculum writing done, whoever was a part of that would know what it was and what it wasn't. And that's all I need to know, because honestly, some of it, it's just manipulating formulas. You know, some of it is really not that bad. It looks really bad, but some of it really isn't bad. Some is bad. But I just need to know what it is. You know, that's all. So I know they talked about a meeting maybe happening. Well, the first week of October is next week. You know, and sometimes, you know, we do have other plans, and we need to make sure we can be at these meetings. So we need to know when it would be. Who would be the best person for me to give that list to? The list of the topics that are on the Algebra 2 trig regions currently. So if I give that to you, then you can work your magic and let me know what's not being taught. And you can, because that's really what I'm looking for, you know. I mean, I'm just trying to break it down. I'm using my experiences from being in the dark with Common Core Algebra, so I'm a little smarter this go-around, you know, so I figured out a better way to skin the cat, and if we could just figure that out, at least we know where we're going. You could probably look at that and say, you need this for physics, you don't need that for physics. I mean, I don't know, that's your area, you know. Right? But I think it's fair. I mean, and certainly, at the very least, if the district can figure out a way to say, you know what, these six things are needed for the ACT, let's hold a Saturday class, you know, whatever class, and just get that in for kids. I mean, I'm just saying we got to do something. We have to meet these kids more than halfway, because you can't expect everyone to hire someone. You can't expect every parent to tutor it on their own. So I'm looking for solutions. It's nothing adversarial. All right, thanks.
Thank you very much. Do we have a motion for routine business? Emily, Seth, discussion? Rich, I know at the last meeting we talked about having an update with the bond as far as meeting the schedule of what the architect had put forward and, you know, where the projects were going to be in that time frame. Do you think we'll have that ready for the next meeting or the meeting after?
State of where the bond is on
every first board meeting in the month.
Oh, cool. Then there you go. So in the October 5th update, we'll have a better update for you, Jacques, on the timetable.
Oh, right. Yeah. The board report you have approved.
We're jumping ahead of ourselves a little bit, but okay, cool. Good. Okay. All right. So any hold separations, any good stuff like that? All those in favor of routine business? Do we have new business? New business. Right. 11.1, we are going to not do. Debbie makes a motion to table it. Seth will second it. All those in favor of tabling it? It's tabled. Adoption of board reports 2015-16. Ginger, Emily, discussion. We discussed it at last meeting. All those in favor? Yes. Project Challenge Field Trip. Ginger, Emily, discussions. Do we want to talk about what that trip is? We said we would do that. A brief description of the trips.
There's multiple trips.
Okay.
There's multiple trips. There's a trip over the Brooklyn Bridge that we've taken over the past few years. That's a walking tour where the students actually have headphones on and they are listening to a speaker. Can you pull the whole thing up? Oh, United. I apologize. Sorry, I thought they were all up.
Okay. I don't know why the other ones aren't there. And then the other one is the trip to the United Nations, which is obviously a very enriching experience for the students. They will have a guided tour there as well as different workshops throughout the day.
Recommendation to adopt the budget calendar for the 2016-17 school year. Debbie? Lauren? Discussions? All those in favor?
Oh,
there you go.
And this is just more of a follow-up from conversations that we've had each of the last two meetings about the audit report and transparency. I do want to point out there are five budget meetings, four definitive, a fifth one if needed, about our budget. We spend hours upon hours upon hours going through each school budget. They're available. And so to those that are here, to those that are listening through the audio, if it comes in clear, to those that look at it, I would just say, and to the comptroller who says that we're not transparent, I invite them to all attend our budget meetings to see how transparent we are and what we discuss and what's there. And, you know, anybody that has a question about that, come to the meeting, participate in public participation.
Just to, as somebody who wasn't here during the budget process, and really neither was my assistant business administrator, the way we're learning about the Plainview Old Bethpage budget is from your meeting notes, presentations, and records from the public sessions you had last year. So that's how we're, you know, we have our standard budget document, but to really get into the blood and guts of it, quite honestly, we have to go back to the things you discussed here. So without that budget process, we would be really in the unknown, but you give a lot of detail that really guide us well.
Chart any day.
Let the process.